No, the water glass. Who else did I be talking about? I was telling Sean before we got started that he's dressed like the Green Bastard, because what you can't see is that he has green shorts on as well. And if you don't know who the Green Bastard is, I highly recommend you look it up. It's from Trailer Park Boys. It's pretty funny. And so something that you guys, I don't know if you guys have known, you probably, if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen this, but one of our friends, Mamrie Hart, has a party every year for her birthday, and there, it's always a costume theme. And for the past 2 or 3 years, she's had one that is WWE.
Yeah.
Wrestling themed. And it was like 2 years ago, because I think the year prior we weren't able to go because we were at Zeitgeist or something. It was a bummer. But 1 year we got to dress up in the wrestling costumes, and I was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
You were an excellent Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And then you were?
A mediocre Green Bastard.
Well, so the thing that happens when you create your own costumes is that Sean wanted a, first of all, we're very last minute. So we had like a week
before the party. I thought it'd be a great idea. So I'm a huge fan of the Trailer Park Boys, if you don't know. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters has a character. He's a backyard wrestler, mm-hmm. the Green Bastard. I was so excited. But that idea, I don't think we knew about the party that much or that far
we had
in advance.
Like, I think we had like about a week.
Oh, yeah. So like,
but always, it takes a while for things to get delivered.
And I push things to the last minute. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. You know, Friday comes around, I'm scrambling, right?
Yeah.
But the Green Bastard was going to be the costume. And it's an easy one, you would think, to make from home.
It should be, but you still need time for things to come to you.
Yeah, like I needed the tape so I could tape the letters onto my shirt.
We had the black tape that we had. Yeah. You had your fabric tape. But so I was able to procure via Amazon, and also we did like all around the costume places in our area, a long sleeve green t-shirt and green, because it has to be green thermal underwear and green basketball shorts.
Yeah, it's just a melange of green.
All sorts. They don't have to be matching. Don't worry. No matchy-matchy here. It's kind of like the look that Sean has going on where you got like 2-3 shades of green. Nobody cares. But the thing that we couldn't find, which, I mean, I guess is good, because why would people have this? But the balaclava, or whatever you call it, the ski mask. It's a green ski mask that he wears. And we couldn't find that. And so I ordered a cape, and I ordered an extra cape or something, right?
Yeah.
And I tried to make a face mask out of it. And I thought I did pretty good.
Well, to be clear, neither of us know how to do this, right? Like, no. So we're not very crafty people.
No.
But you did have a cape, a pair of scissors, and my face to trace the outline with the scissors.
Yeah, I cut the holes out.
I was a little nervous because you had me wear it while you cut it.
I did not at all. Not for a second.
I didn't used to do this winky thing, and now.
That's why your beard is funny. Yeah. No, what? I did not
my
do that.
My beard is funny?
No, I was making a joke. Can't take a joke. Anyway, the thing was so hot. Sean would just sweat. So he's like, I can't wear this. And I was like, I spent so long, like probably like 3-4 hours, like stitching this thing, because I kept making him put it on because I couldn't, you know, you want it to be tight, but you don't want it to be too tight that he can't get it on and off easily.
Rule of thumb, the cheaper the fabric is on Amazon, the hotter and sweatier it's going to be.
It was like full polyester or like plastic.
I couldn't breathe in that thing.
Yeah, he was like, I can't wear this. Yeah. And so all of my hard work was thrown in the garbage.
But like, when I walked into the party, one of the people immediately recognized me, and that pumped
really?
Me up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chip, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah, Mamrie's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny.
But yeah, everyone else was a recognizable wrestler.
And yeah, I like from, and yeah, there was like, there was, so I was Rowdy Roddy Piper, and then there was Ronda Rousey, who has dressed up as Rowdy Roddy Piper, so there was that. Then
there was everything.
Macho Man, yeah.
Yeah. I actually had quite a few beverages at that party.
Too many.
Yeah. But I decided
the
to direct
Green Bastard couldn't hold it together all night.
Well, I directed a commercial towards the end of the party.
Do we have that footage?
Yeah, I do. Snap into a Slim Jim. Uh-huh. I had all the wrestlers
and
doing.
And everybody else had just as many beverages.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a fun night. It was really ridiculous and hilarious. And it's just fun to get dressed up. Does anybody else love to get dressed up? I love Halloween for that reason. Mm. And I'm kind of bummed this year that like Halloween, I know a lot of people don't agree that Halloween's over this year because they're like, don't want to admit it, but we shouldn't be partying. I'm sorry.
No, I think they've canceled it in a lot of towns.
I meant people
Hills.
Getting together, like, you know.
Yeah. I remember a horrible Halloween story that...
Ooh, do tell.
You were there. So we were going to go out to a local place. One of your friends was coming over, and then we're going to go out. But prior to that, I had...
Smoked oysters.
Smoked oysters, which is not...
It was Liz and I. We were going to Busby's.
Yeah, we were just going to go meet up with a group of people. But
I had laugh.
No, it was a dumb idea. I had a tin of smoked oysters.
Just like straight on saltines, you guys. Like, I don't know.
Which is how you should have them.
But we were going to eat at the place. The place serves food, like good food.
Yeah, so my pregame was not very strong.
And he made himself super sick.
Yeah, I had a case of the green apple splatters. and I couldn't go out for Halloween.
Remember, sad. Liz was Japanese takeout or Chinese takeout or something. She is. Don't get offended. She is Japanese, part Japanese. Anyway, she had the little takeout container as a purse. It was super cute. I forget what I was that year. But anyway, it was really cool when we left Sean because he was like, leave me. I want to be on my own as I suffer through this.
I'm dying. Leave me.
That's how Sean is. Anyway, so we go to this. It's really a sports bar is what it is, but it's like a really big bar place. And I don't know if it's technically in Santa Monica or West LA, but it's in our area. And there was, I love going out on Halloween because you get to see so many other costumes. At Busby's, there was a whole set of people dressed up as the Mario Kart people.
Oh, you're mixing up yours. I saw those people too.
Oh, is it my
mixing up? That was a previous year, yeah.
I thought that was when we were, when it was at Busby's though, I swear, because they went around our booth and one of them hit, they were like annoyed because their car, either way, it doesn't matter if you were there or not. I love the costumes and they were all, there was like a princess, a Yoshi, a Mario, a Wario,
and then just some litter bug throwing, you know, banana peels
everywhere, yeah. Fucking, and tortoise shells. Where did he find those? Anyway, it was really... I love that part. And one year...
I like it when people roll up as a gang of
a group.
They're all doing a theme. I think
you know that's how hard that is to get people like on your... You don't even half the time want to dress up as what I want to dress up as.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Jim from The Office.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not into it. And I am so into it. Like usually Sean will say he knows that winter is coming when I start making plans for Halloween costumes.
One year for Halloween, my friend Eric and I, this is in high school, so maybe like the 9th or 10th grade, mm-hmm. we dressed up as women. But like it was an outrageous costume, you know, it was really fun.
How'd you find shoes?
I don't know.
Or did you just wear tennis
shoes? I think
shoes?
I just wore tennis shoes.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyways, back in the day, you would have a pillowcase and that's what you'd use for your candy, right?
No.
Yeah, that's how we would roll.
Wow.
So we just fill up the pillowcases.
You didn't just have like your little plastic bucket?
No, we were like the teenagers, you know. Anyways.
You're not supposed to trick or treat when you're teenagers.
Yeah, we were like, I think 15 or something. Anyways.
It's a little old, Sean.
It was a little old.
I would have turned you away.
But it was a little dark, mm-hmm. you know, so dusk had come and gone.
Sean is writing us a novel. Dusk had come and gone.
It was a little dark out and we're making our way back with our big bags of candy. Mm-hmm. And we're laughing, having a good time. Like it was a good, you know, you see other people from the neighborhood and there's tons of people out. But as we're rounding the corner, these bullies jumped out from behind the bushes.
Oh, Sean's so startable. Did you drop your whole bag and run?
No. I was going to fight for
Beat him with the candy.
Give us your candy. And the guy grabs my buddy Eric's candy bag. Eric, he's a tall guy and, you know... He turns around, he Punch. Knocks the guy down. He goes, don't ever touch a lady's candy.
They thought it was a girl? Did they think you were ladies? They couldn't
no,
have thought
I,
you were
No, I don't
a
know what...
you were a skinny little thing. Maybe they did think you were a lady.
Yeah, they thought... It doesn't matter, but they... don't ever touch a lady's candy. And he knocked the guy over. And they were really taken aback by his aggressive nature. And so they kind of...
And his loud, booming voice. So they were like, ooh.
It was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, so we got away with our candy.
I'm sure my mom still has them, but I just had a basic, Nick and I both had basic like jack-o'-lantern looking plastic.
I remember those.
We just had those things.
Yeah. They didn't have enough carrying capacity.
But in your car, my mom always in the car would have like a
in
grocery bag. We had to drive. I'm in the country, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Where would I walk
to? The suburbs. Mine looked
like
the movie. Tell
me, where would I walk? I walked for 20 miles and I've seen 4 houses.
The candy to walking ratio is way off. In the countryside.
And it's cold.
Yeah. Oh, it was cold where we were too. Like
that's why it's like, why would you walk? We would get back in the car to warm up.
Smart.
One of my worst, and I might have talked about this before on a live stream. Lord only knows. One of the worst costumes ever. My mom loves Halloween. Maybe that's where my love for Halloween comes. My mom still, as an adult, dresses up fully every year. Like I'm an adult and I dress up fully. I'm saying as like my mother, she goes to work and no one dresses up and she's always dressed up. Like last year, she was a payday candy bar. Oh. Everybody win his candy bars.
Well, she does work in accounting, so that
payday. Exactly. But anyway, we would always put together costumes as a family, you know, and like what I want to be and blah, blah, blah. And one year I really wanted to go as a bunch of grapes. I'd seen somebody do it the year before and I really wanted to do it. And so my mom and I came up with the idea where I had like a purple leotard and purple tights and a purple, like it was all purple, just like Green Bastard, all purple. And then we got a hat that just had like two leaves my mom made out of construction paper and a stem.
Oh, nice.
And it was a little like a headband slash hat thing that she put together. And so then I don't know if I was grapes or I think it was grapes because it was purple balloons. This was where it all went wrong. So then it was a bunch of purple balloons that she pinned to my leotard. And then I was covered in a little plastic bag, like with my arms out. I think it was just like grapes at the store, but like in a, you know, they come in a bag. But those balloons were so squeaky that I got in trouble in class and I had to sit outside. And I was so embarrassed as a kid.
Yeah.
But I also do not like, maybe that's why I really don't like balloons, like balloons squeaking, balloons touching.
Does? If someone says, you know what my favorite noise is? Two balloons squeeing together. Ugh. That person's a
weirdo. It makes my teeth like, it's like nails on a chalkboard where you're like, ooh. Mm. It's uncomfortable and you're like, get it out, make it stop.
Would you have felt more comfortable if you had ran into the rest of your gang?
Yeah, like if it was
the
like
apple the, and
yeah
the,
like Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that
teacher to stuff it,
that the balloons should have been covered, we didn't have time for this, but should have been covered in like a purple sock and then blown up or something so they wouldn't make their
yeah, a lot of people want to put their balloons in socks, Katie. Silent balloons.
Anyway, I thought it was a great idea of a costume and super cute, but yeah. In practice, it would not work.
Okay.
So, that's the story.
What are we going to be this year?
Nothing. I had on the docket. Okay. I loved the movie Pretty Woman. I still love it, but I loved it a lot yet when I was younger. And I thought you could dress up like Richard Gere. You just wear a nice suit. We could get you like a
great. And hire a prostitute?
No, but I would be Pretty Woman. I'd wear the white with the blue and have the red jacket because I already have blonde hair. I'd just make it look, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun and it's cute.
It is. I think it's a good one.
I could wear the red. I could find a red dress, like buy a, you know, one of those princessy red dresses kind of, so I'd look like her, like when you snap my fingers in the thing.
I don't. Do people even know what that movie is anymore?
100%. Are we going to hang out with people that are 21? No, we are not.
You know what's going to be really awkward is when everyone shows up at a party like as a TikTok dancer.
Who are you?
I'm a TikTok dancer.
I don't
dancer.
Think that's the one thing that does I have trouble with is a lot of people dress up as characters from games. And since I don't do any gaming, like my friend Alana Fisk was showing different characters that she's dressing up as. And one of them was like Scooby-Doo. And I was like, I know that one.
Got that one.
But the others were like from games that she plays. And I was like, I don't know. Is that a cartoon character? Like,
Wait. Are you a Settler of Catan? Do you need wheat?
I don't think you can dress up as Settlers of Catan. I don't think there's, I don't know if that works.
I'd have to look at the box.
Anyways, I don't know those things because I don't play any games. I like to play a game
you're either
called
Zelda.
Work really hard so you make enough money to pay your bills. That's the game I play.
Yeah. You're either Zelda or a 45-year-old virgin. Which is it?
Loved Zelda.
Me too, but
Nicole and I.
You don't see me sporting Zelda clothing at 45, you know.
But for Halloween,
although I am dressed in green,
you are dressed like Zelda. Put a little pointy hat on you, and I don't know, Sean.
Damn it! All right,
your joke backfired. But you know what? I want to hear from all of you in the comments, in the emails. I want you to tell us your funniest Halloween stories. Actually, email would be preferred so we can read them on the pod.
I mean, I went first. I told you about the explosive diarrhea when I was dressed up to go out for Halloween. I told you about almost getting robbed. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've had any embarrassing Halloween stories. Halloween's just always fun.
Yeah.
You and your old roommate Joe used to throw a Halloween party every year.
Did we ever? Fun. Ooh, those were good parties.
Yeah.
Back then, we used to have ice blocks, like a luge.
Yeah, a luge.
Oof. That was nice.
I remember that was that tequila that had that worm in it, and then I threw up.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I didn't use the luge myself because I'm a germaphobe.
Sean is a germaphobe. Well, I was before anybody got there.
Oh, okay.
But he gave me the shitty tequila, and then I threw up.
Well, we were poor. We didn't have expensive tequila.
It's true. It's not like we had. But
put
that's
all
like,
the money in the ice luge,
right?
And then you have to use cheap
priorities,
tequila.
Priorities, man. Priorities.
Yeah. But those were good parties. I remember.
They were.
we'd have to go around the neighborhood and tell the neighbors that we're going to have a party.
Yep. There was that one guy.
He was such a curmudgeon.
Oh, he was like mad that nobody wanted to hang out with him, but obviously nobody did because he's a dickwad.
Yeah, he'd have questions.
Like, yeah.
My only question is, are you okay with us having the party or not? We're going to be respectful. We'll turn the volume down by 11.
Give us a call.
Let us know. He was
mad immediately.
How many people are going to this party? Where will they be parking? I don't know. In the fucking street, because that's where people park, buddy.
Oh, but people...
You're not even on our street. You're
people in cul-de-sacs?
Ugh.
Fucking...
What else did he have?
How many people? Where are they going to park?
How old are the people?
How old are the people going to be there? Are there going to be any children?
Yeah.
How late are you going to allow people to stay at your home?
Yeah.
What do I do if you don't answer my call when I call? I'm like...
Can I dress like Zelda?
I've already had three beers, dude. You need to shut the fuck up. I'm over this. Next house. Yeah. Next.
Yeah.
That guy was the worst.
But everyone else was nice.
I remember he was from USC and I was like, God damn, people from USC. Mm. Remember he had that big USC flag? I was like,
What's the acronym stand for? University of Spoiled Children?
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm sure there are nice people.
I went to Pepperdine's. I don't really feel like I have any dirt to throw on that. I went to the University of Spoiled Children. I just happened to not be one of those children. No, but I got the fight in me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys used to have a great Halloween. I wonder something I'm curious about because I was just thinking through our costumes really quickly in my head, just like going through our Rolodex. We have them all in the garage. Mm-hmm. We could wear one every day until Halloween if you want. I could be a go-go dancer.
You could be a football player.
I could be a ladybug.
I could be a cowboy.
I could be a pirate. You can be a cowboy. You can be a football
Mr. Clean.
Player. Yeah.
I could be...
Rosie the Riveter?
Yeah. I was the German guy with the lederhosen 1 year. Boom, 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 boom.
I was the German girl, I remember. But anyways, what I was thinking is, do you think that because people are offended by everything now and they're so goddamn sensitive that everything's just ruined, do you think you can't even dress up as things now? Are they going to be like, cultural appropriation? And you're like, dude, I am dressed up as insert Rasta person, you know? Like... That's my character today.
The skanky Rasta nurse. You know how they've got these
packages?
They always
packages? Make the sexy. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, do you think that those things are going to be like, no, you can't be Bob Marley. That's offensive.
Well, if you are going to have cancel culture, that would be an exciting place to do it because every costume offends somebody in some way.
Every costume. Yeah. Well, that's how
you can't dress like a prisoner. That's offensive to prisoners.
Right. Oh, my God.
You can't dress like Albert Einstein. That's... Cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation.
Of what? I don't know.
You can't be Mr. Clean. That's, I don't know. That's the thing. You got to find something that if someone said, you can't be that, that's, and you're like, I don't have anything. Then you're like, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right.
My favorite costume of all time. Do you know what it is?
No.
Edward Scissorhands. We saw him at what no longer exists, Moment of Silence for the House of Blues.
Right, right. We went to Halloween at the House of Blues.
They used to have a big soiree every year, and it was
excellent. And I'm not into Halloween parties, but
it wasn't crammed. You could walk around.
Los Angelinos, there's, you know, obviously it's a big art community, and then on top of being an art community, you have a bunch of people who they just get excited about events. I don't know. It's part
we
of the
love
culture.
A holiday.
Yeah. And so if you combine artists with holidays plus...
And theater. A lot of theater people. Let's
theater and television
movies,
right?
Well, like, that's what I meant by that. Like, entertainers.
Right. And so they all know somebody who's in costume design because you see some of the best costumes. Like, it's the real deal.
You're
like,
if you go through WeHo, they shut down Santa Monica Boulevard, which is like the main drag in West Hollywood.
You're like, that's not a Ghostbusters... knockoff replica.
No, we have a car in Santa Monica that is the car.
It is the car, and the dude has the whole Ghostbusters outfit and the pack, but it's from the fucking movie.
And he drives around every Halloween with the music pumping. And you're like,
you're seeing things in your neighborhood. Who are you going to call? Me. Call me, because I want to see things in my neighborhood.
I want to see. But yeah, that was awesome.
Okay.
There's so many things, but Edward Scissorhands, so we'd need to finish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There is a video. If we can find it, we could probably put it up here. But there's a video that Sean took of me, and I forget what I was even dressed as, but Edward Scissorhands, I love the film. Can't get enough. I love it. Johnny Depp is amazing. Anyway, I see a guy dressed as Edward Scissorhands, at the House of Blues, and I'm like, oh my God, Sean, I have to go. I want to get a picture with him.
First of all, so we were standing up along the railing, and then there's the floor.
And there's the down, the floor below. Where the
dance floor kind of for the...
And Edward was in there.
Yeah, but it was packed. Like, there was just a ton of people.
I was like, I got to get down there.
However, here's what Edward was doing. He was giving ladies...
Haircuts. Fake
haircuts. Just like in the movie, right?
Just like in the movie.
Homeboy had scissors for hands.
But they were like foam little...
I don't think they were foam. They were, but they certainly weren't real knives.
Cardboard.
I don't know. They were beautifully
done. They felt
done.
Very soft. That's what I'm saying. I think they were foam.
Yeah.
But you guys, it was so cool.
He was tossing up everyone's hair.
Yeah. And it looked so cool. So Sean got a video of it, of him giving me a haircut. There are certain things in life that are just simple, stupid things. And I was so fucking excited. And that's one of those things. Yeah. I was like, this is the best day of my life.
It looked just like Johnny. It probably was Johnny Depp. I didn't want to tell you that at the time.
It was not. It was like a guy. But he did a perfect job. Like the hair and the I love that costume. That would be a fun. You could be Edward Scissorhands, and I'd be, what was Winona Ryder's character?
Oh, she's Winona Ryder in every show.
I forget her name. Anyway, great film.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Not a huge fan of it.
Really?
Yeah. Tim Burton's good, but I don't see the value in Edward Scissorhands. I thought it was a weird...
Oh,
I mean, I understand what they're talking about.
He felt so deeply, Sean. Yeah. Sean doesn't like those types of things in general. Like, I loved WALL-E, and Sean's like, I fucking hate that film.
Yeah. I liked Benny and June, same era.
I don't know if I've seen that at all.
That had feelings.
Oh, my God. But anyway, I love Halloween. I'm very bummed about not being able to. I mean, I can get dressed up. I know. I can already hear the comments coming. You can dress up. You can do whatever.
Or how about this one? You could dress up and then just drive around in your car and wave at other people. Like,
I know. It sounds really fucking lame. It
doesn't really sound that good.
Yeah.
They use that excuse with everything. Like, it's a birthday party. You know what you could do?
You could drive by and say happy birthday.
Yeah, you're like, that's not.
My mom and Larry did that for a couple of kids.
It's the equivalent of Zoom burnout. You know, you get burned out.
But hey, the kids got excited at the time because, you know, it's a bummer. But as an adult, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't want people driving by being like, happy birthday. I'd be like, keep it down out there.
Yeah.
I'm old now. Shut up. I'm just kidding. But anyways, I love Halloween. I'm bummed about it this year, but hopefully next year things are different and we can get dressed up and go out.
I love the lead up to Halloween.
What does that mean?
To me, that means the weather starts to get cold.
Oh, the fall.
Mm-hmm. Usually we have some ciders around the house, which is kind of fun. But what I really like is television starts to change to
Sean loves spooky.
Spooky movies.
I put that in the journal prompt this week about spooky stories, and I've always hated them.
Yeah. I love it because
being scared.
Every, you know, Halloween type film or horror film inevitably makes it to cable.
I don't mind things like Hocus Pocus.
Or
Practical Magic.
Yeah, I'm talking about like a scary film.
Yeah, no.
But what I don't like is that they edit them down for television. Like, what's the point of watching Halloween, the movie,
on television? Like, you got to do Netflix or...
It's going to be 45 minutes shorter than the original film. They got
cut everything out. There's no gore at all. I mean, I think... I don't know if things... I feel this way, and I don't know if people agree, but I think television has... It's expanded what it allows from our childhood to now.
Oh, for sure.
So things might be not so rigid, not like you're remembering maybe now, but I still think that things edited down. It's like Sex and the City. You don't want to put that on TV because there's nothing to it then.
I also don't want to have the mood broken by having a commercial injected into something I'm watching.
Interjected that just into takes the storyline. Yeah, you're like, ugh, and now you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So
I don't like being scared,
I'm not hot to trot on them. TV. Yeah,
so Candy Crush.
I hardly watch things on there, but...
On TV?
Yeah, like on regular TV. Everything's Netflix or regular TV sucks, Amazon. Yeah.
Does anybody watch regular TV anymore? The only reason we had it was for hockey, and now I wonder why we still have it. Well, I watch my NCIS New Orleans. NOLA.
Oh, you know what we watched? I don't think you finished watching it because it was a little long, but Shelby, the movie about Carol Shelby.
Oh, yeah, I went to bed.
The documentary, that was so good. Oh,
it was okay.
Well, for me, it was
Sean good. Loves cars.
Yeah. I just liked seeing a documentary about people and like...
It was interesting.
Who have done things that...
I think it's cool when people like fight against the current to make life happen.
Yeah.
Like that guy definitely pushed against, like swam against the current to make it happen. If you don't know the story, you've probably heard of the Ford Shelby. Is that what you'd call it?
Yeah,
it's like a Mustang
Shelby.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a type of Mustang, and it's a race car essentially. And the guy who created that, it's the story of him and how he came to be. He was a famous racer, and I didn't know his whole story or how the Shelby became the Mustang Shelby, but you get to kind of learn about like how he tried to build his own car himself. And it's really cool, like his little team. And even though he's passed away, a lot of his original team members that helped build the original Shelby were interviewed, and it was cool.
Yeah,
and they had really audio of him, a lot of audio, which was cool.
Yeah, he was around forever. I mean, he just passed away recently, or relatively recently. Mm-hmm. But he was such an interesting, bigger than life character, and growing up.
And he had a heart condition forever. Like, it was crazy, you guys.
Racing cars and taking nitroglycerin.
Yeah, to make his, because he'd have like pain in his chest because he had a heart condition.
He was having heart attacks while he was driving, and he just kept driving.
Isn't, you guys, it's fucking nuts, man. That's what Until I mean, swimming against the current.
He was like
ticker and all.
The Michael Jordan of car racing. Like he would win and everything.
But if Michael Jordan also had heart attacks and played basketball at the same time.
Right, that's a good point. Carroll Shelby is greater than Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
You've heard it here first.
But what an interesting guy. And as he went along in life, like the different seasons, to see someone's story. Like I find that not disingenuous, but weird when just pick a YouTuber or some nouveau celebrity and they put out a memoir. And you're like, dude, you're 19. How do you put out a memoir?
There were so many of those. I remember back in the day, and I won't name any names, but if you just look up YouTuber memoirs.
And I get it why they would do it, because they sell and this and that.
But you don't have a story.
You don't. You're 19. You didn't face, you know, like, unless you went to the Second World War.
You're just waiting. I remember, so without speaking about anybody, when I was going to sell my first book, I took a lot of meetings in New York with a bunch of different publishers, and most of them were just total dickwads, but we found a couple that we liked, and we ended up settling with the one that we love now, and Dan and Hachette are amazing. However, through that process, we had all these meetings, and one of them had worked on a YouTuber memoir, and the editor was like, yeah, I kept reading the manuscript waiting for any kind of conflict or upset, and there just wasn't. And I was like, why would people buy this?
I mean, it was basically like a Teen Beat or a Tiger, whatever.
Well, because if you don't have magazine, a story, like,
well, that's, know, it. And so looking
Carol
at a documentary,
Shelby, you're like, look at all that he overcame. He was super poor. He had a bad heart.
He raced all over the world. Mm-hmm. Won.
Back in the day when travel was like, people did not fly to like Brazil. Yeah. He went from being a chicken farmer, you guys.
While he was racing.
Because there wasn't any money in racing for a while.
No, it's a really good story. And we've done really a crazy bad job of it, but you probably know the name Shelby.
Is it just called Shelby?
Yeah. No, the documentary. Yeah, if you just look up Shelby.
It's on Netflix, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It might be Shelby, the American story or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was also a feature film that just came out recently about him and the program that they had at Ford and how they were going to go after Ferrari and how he was slighted by Enzo Ferrari. It's a really good story.
It's really cool because you learn, this isn't really giving anything away, you learn that Carroll Shelby, because he's from Texas, I think, right? Or the South. I think it's Texas. So he has like that Southern hospitality, and he goes to Italy to race, and the people from Ferrari, Enzo Ferrari, is like a total dickwad to him and like isn't interested in having conversations or talking with him. And so he like forever is out to like beat them.
No, but he went even further after that, after he was a race car driver. I think when he had retired, he and his buddy were setting up an exotic cars dealership in Texas. And he thought, wouldn't it be great if we had some of these European badges that he had raced against? So this may be Fiat, this, you know, these other companies, right, that were in the race circuits that he was winning as an American in Europe. So he thought, let's take those cars and bring them to America so Americans can
experience the European cars.
And nowadays you see this sort of thing all the time, these brands,
but we're
at the
more
time
global now.
You know, we're more global. So anyways, he approached Ferrari, and Enzo told him basically to go fly a kite, Enzo Ferrari being the
namesake
of the company. Well, yeah, he had a chip on his shoulder about this Yankee. And so this grudge match between Ferrari and Shelby then grows into Ferrari and Shelby and Ford, because Shelby and Ford team up.
Yeah, and that became a film that came out recently. Brad Pitt?
Matt Damon.
Or Matt Damon. Who knows? They're all the same to me. Anyway, they had a film.
Yeah, it's great. Anyways, I could go on and on about it. But one other thing just popped in my mind, I forgot about. But one of the reasons why I love it is that when I was maybe 14 years old, my dad's friend had purchased a 1966 GT350, which is the Ford Mustang Shelby. I think it came out in 65, but this was a 66.
Okay.
It was blue. It had white racing stripes on it, and it was gorgeous. It had a wood Nardi steering wheel.
Nardi? What does that mean?
It's a Is that a brand?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's like, is that a weird, like, it's not nerdy, it's Nardi.
It's gnarly, bro. Yeah, anyways, this car was, it was my dream car. I mean, as a young kid, I saw this thing, and it could have been a Camaro, it could have been a Ferrari, but no, for me, the moment I fell in lust with a car
was that
was this
do you
thing.
Want to and hear I the first car I ever liked?
Sure. A Ford Probe.
A Ford. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It, and now I'm forgetting what it was even called.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Ford.
Right? No, but it was a Ford, yeah. But it was like the worst car, like looking back, I'm like, Aspire, the Ford Aspire.
Oh.
It was like an egg.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, because this just shows you how different we are, is I thought, I bet that good gas mileage, and it could go, it'd be so easy to park.
Yeah. That's I'm thinking like how high can it jump? And can
this
we
is me
tint
at like
14,
15 when you start to realize that you're going to drive. And I was like, the Ford Aspire had just come out and there was all these commercials about it. And I was like, I want that car. Mm-hmm. And then of course I got a Honda Accord.
Sensible.
So, well, it wasn't like I got to pick a car. I didn't get a new car. My car was like old, like a 1989 or something, but she was a beauty. And it was so funny because then flash forward, I go to Pepperdine and one of my friends, Catherine, had a Ford Aspire and she's like, I fucking hate this car. And I was like, that was my dream car. And she's like, why? And I was like, it's so practical. And she's like, yeah, why would you like this car?
You know,
I bet it gets good gas mileage and I'm pretty sure it's easy to park.
My first car was a British car. It was a barn find. It was a Triumph Spitfire.
Uh-huh. Like really, someone hadn't been in the barn forever. Is that what you mean by barn find?
Yeah,
they go in, they're like
covered in bird shit and dust.
It was a mess.
And, yeah. But we salvaged it. We pulled it out. It was like a 1970.
Mm-hmm. Do you like working on cars? Because you've never done much in that.
I do,
since I've known you.
I definitely do enjoy working on mechanical issues. I like to have a manual. I like to have a clean working environment, a nice area.
Sean's
like
very particular about things, you guys.
I don't like working on a sloppy counter that like has, you know, if I'm going to take bolts very apart, particular. They need to go into cups so I can find them. I need to label that jar.
Wow.
So when I put it back together.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of steps.
No, it's just running a nice shop, you know, like it's so stressful when you have a messy garage. I don't like that at all. Wow.
Do you like working on cars? I do. Only when it's 72 degrees outside, the humidity is below 30. I have a stainless steel countertop that I can work that no one has touched in 10 years. I've sanitized 7 times.
See what I got to put up with?
I have all my cups, nuts, bolts, sanity. It all goes in there. Yeah.
Snacks, beverages. Everything needs its own little candy. Special place. But yeah, I know I do enjoy working on things. And I hope to do so more in the future. I want to tear my motorcycle down to, and then rebuild it up and, you know, fix anything.
Hope for the best since she never sees the road.
Yeah. Well, it's a beauty though. I love it. Okay. Let's not talk about it. I don't want to get nostalgic. I don't want to get upset.
Why would you get upset?
I just abandoned the bike. It's just sitting in the garage. It hasn't run in years.
It's been sitting since even like...
Yeah.
Back before we really dated, you were like, oh, I haven't ridden it in a while.
Yeah. But those things are going to change. I'm going to get that thing back up to speed, Katie.
You heard it here first, you guys. When we move and we have the new house and property and everything, Sean's going to get that bike going.
That's right. It's going to be exciting.
For him. Yeah, definitely. We have some emails. Let's read some emails.
We do have some emails.
Emails.
All right. One of them is very long and detailed and ties into last week's podcast.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
Don't know if you want that one or if you want...
Just make a decision.
All right.
Whichever you want.
So this is in regards to last week when we talked about tractor pulls.
Oh, yes.
Because tractor pulls is something that we were unaware of and...
I thought this kind of silly.
I think it's kind of fun with this podcast where we have the chutzpah to say we don't know, and then we just goof about things. Like we bring up a topic and we screw it up. And, you know, I think that's kind of the fun part about
this. Of course. I know nothing about tractor pulls.
No, exactly. So
other
we talk
than the,
trash
like 10 minutes that we watched. when I was like, is this seriously what we're doing on a Sunday?
Yeah. So last week we talked mm-hmm. about that mm-hmm. and we were just confused by the whole tractor pull thing.
Yeah.
But why does it exist? Someone comes in from our audience and tells us. And that's really helpful, actually, when someone lets us know what's actually happening.
Okay, let's get down to it here.
Hey, Katie and Sean. As soon as I heard tractor pulls, my Midwest ears perked up.
Ooh.
Sorry about the longness of the email. I could talk about this all day. There's actually different kinds of tractor pulls. There's the one that you watched with the souped-up tractors. Mm. And then there are the ones with the old-timey tractors.
That would be more cool, the old-timey.
That's what I thought. Yeah. The thing they're pulling is called a skid truck. Growing up during summers and fall in North Dakota, the small towns would have tractor pickup pulls, and my uncle and grandpa would have a pickup in the pickup pulls.
Okay.
It's a lot of pickup pulls.
It's a lot of picking up.
Alliteration. Peter Pepper.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Now run, rock, rhyme. Peppers? Humpty Dumpty fell down. That's his hot time. Jack be nimble. What? Nimble?
That's not a thing.
No. Okay. the tractor pulls would start the evening off, and one of the rules of the pull is that the tractor can only go 5 miles per hour. So that's why we were like, why is it moving so slow?
Yeah, it was like the guy like walked right in front of it, like, thun, thun,
thun, thun. I thought it was the worst racing ever. I thought
the tractor just sucked. Okay, continue.
Okay. So if you go over 5 miles an hour, the truck would honk at them, and if they were honked at twice, they were disqualified.
Oh.
Most of the family would go and just hang out and have a good time while the announcer would have some jokes with the pullers, since most of them were the same from weekend to weekend. Mm. So it's nice. It's like a family gathering. And for that, I like it already. I think that's cool.
If there's add some barbecue to it, I'm sold.
That
Let's
was
go to the tractor pull.
Yeah. Maybe a live band. Maybe
I'm putting my boots
John
on.
John Cougar Mellencamp.
I'm going to have to wear boots for this. I have a feeling I get boots.
Maybe Huey Lewis in the News. Anyone from the summer concert series that goes to your country fair would work.
Yeah.
After the tractor pull concluded, they would fix the racetrack for the pickup pull. Personally, I find that better than the tractor pull.
Okay. Good to know. Duly noted.
The tractor and pickup pull would use the same skid truck.
Okay.
With the pickup pulls, there are many classes. With my uncle, he had almost standard trucks, and it gained the nickname Old Rusty because 3/4 of it was rust, but it's still chugging along.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. With my grandpa's truck, he had some time one winter and took a small combine tractor motor, old Ford cab on a heavy duty chassis, and then built a bed on the back to put weights for traction.
Interesting. Because you want both tire, like all four tires to have weight on them.
I'm so lost in this world.
You're not following?
I am, but I'm like, wow, this is a pretty, I didn't realize, I thought it was just good old times, but there's like builds
like anything, there's always more to it than you think.
There was a time that every year that something on my grandpa's pickup would break, but luckily about 3 years ago, he was told by my grandma that it was the last time he could fix it, and that was the last time it broke.
Oh, funny. Grandma proved her wrong there.
Yeah. One of the things with pickup pulls that makes them great is that you get to hang out with family and BS with everyone that is there watching, even though everyone is competing against each other. It's just like a big party.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's like,
I dig that.
I like that too.
Yep. Sometimes if one of the pickup pullers want to watch how their pickup goes down the track, they'll ask one of the regular people there that are there if they're willing to do the pull for them. So you
drive it. Hmm. Oh, funny. You don't even have to know. Like, but I'm assuming you can't.
Hey, you want
to
pull it for me?
I'd be like, damn straight. Darn tootin'. I think that's
you
what
sure you
say.
Want to pull it for me? Yeah, that's
okay, Sean. Okay, get your mind out of the gutter. We're talking tractor pulls here.
Yeah. My uncle decided he didn't want to pull one evening, but had brought his pickup, so asked if one of us wanted to, and I decided I was up for the challenge to go up against some of the other regulars. Good for you.
Good for you. Gotta do it.
When I went to pull, I'd been watching the others to see which way to go on the track where it was soft and the wheels would dig in. So you were very methodical. Yeah, I appreciate that. With that information, I was able to move a little on the track to get almost full pull, usually 300 feet. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. Most of the regulars there tried saying that it was rigged because I knew how the skid truck worked, but really they were jealous little bitches.
Jealous bitches.
They just said they were jealous. Yeah. That I'd won my class for the first time pulling. Found video of this and I've attached it. We're going to put it in the video.
Awesome.
I've put links of a few other video pulls that I remember that help out with the above, so you kind of understand what's going on.
That's so interesting.
The skid trucks in these videos, my grandpa and uncle built, and they work flawlessly. So they're going. They go on about.
That's awesome.
I actually appreciate that you're sharing this with us. So I'll put the links to the tractor pull and your video in this video. So it's cool. Okay. This is the last part, I promise. I recently just drove to North Dakota and back for a vacation to visit my family and decided that I would listen to Opinions That Don't Matter for the majority of the trip, from the newest episode to the oldest. One of the best ways to listen. I was able to listen to them all.
Ooh.
In one of the beginning podcasts, you guys were talking about how you propagated your fig tree.
Yes.
When listening to the episode, I noticed we never found out how that went.
Oh.
So how did the propagating go?
Well, it didn't propagate. So I was actually talking to my mom about this because she has a fiddle leaf as well, but it's a better quality, I think, and it had done better because her neighbor has a green thumb, and so it was huge and had grown, and it essentially had grown too big for the neighbor's area that she had for it. And she was like, do you want it, Carrie? To my mom, she's like, do you want it, or I'm going to get rid of it? And my mom was like, yeah, I'll try my hand at it. So she put it in a corner where it got a lot of light, and my mom cut off one of the branches because it was like, it's just huge. And she put it in water just like I did. Like, we watched the same video, we did the same thing, and hers had a bunch of roots in like 3 days. We left ours in water, changed it every week for like, what, 3 months?
God damn it. I even put Charlie Daniels on Devil Went Down to Georgia so it could hear what a fiddle sounds like.
And it did not do any
figging.
It didn't do any of that. And so my mom was like, well, you could stick it in. What was that root stuff she was talking about?
Root all?
Nah, something. But there's like a powder. Okay, Andy. Anyway, she said to dip it in that powder. It's root something. You guys probably know what it is. And stick it in dirt. And I was like, you know what? We're moving. Let's throw that fucker out. So we threw out the propagated bit. But where we cut it off, it has branched out into two. Yeah, you guys can't see the top leaves, but the top leaves are very pretty. These low leaves are a little dingy, but the new ones are like shiny and perky.
Yeah.
So that's how the propagation went.
Didn't go so well
at all. Mm-mm. I don't know if we'll bring Felicia with us when we move.
We'll just ask the neighbor if they want it.
I'm pretty sure the answer is no. She's not a looker, Sean.
Okay, so for Sean and his hiding his wallet, which I do, and we talked about that last week, I hide my wallet on myself and sometimes lose it. They say, I've had the same issue, but I've invested in a tile for my wallet, and it has saved me so many times.
Yes, we've had one. We have one of those.
Lamar got me a tile.
And I have heard, just to spread the word far and wide, my friend Mindy McKnight, who has a wonderful a family of channels, really. They've been on YouTube for a long time. Good friends of ours. Her and her husband, Sean, have 6 children. And now a lot of them are older. But back in the day, like 4 or 5 years ago, when they were all at home, when they would go places, like grocery store, Disneyland, any kind of place where you could be scattered, she puts tiles on her children's shoes.
Smart.
I was like, genius.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what tile is, it's basically, it's a little... Mm-hmm. A little flat tile.
It's probably a little square, the size of white, your thumb. Yeah, inch by 1 inch.
Yeah, and basically, it is a passive device. So if you ping it and it's within, or it's near some sort of cell service or a phone, then it can send out its ID, and then you can track it on a map. So it's really cool. Yeah. The problem is that before I had a chance to install it, the one that I was gifted, I lost it. So I needed a tile
for my tile. Are you kidding? You lost it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys.
So before I had a chance to activate it, my tile, I hit it so no one would take it.
Thanks for the wonderful gift, Lamar. Can we put a tile just into Sean? Like, we need to chip him.
Yeah.
Everything you touch needs to be chipped.
So she says, thanks for all the laughs, Alexis.
Thanks, Alexis.
Thanks, Alexis. I appreciate it.
That was really interesting. I love learning more. And, you know.
You are, I dub thee the tractor pull
expert
for the show. So anytime that tractor pull information is required, we will...
We'll defer to Alexis.
Shit, maybe I'll even get into tractor pulling now. I mean, this...
It sounds kind of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Racing my speed 5 miles an hour.
Okay, we have another one from Jacqueline.
Ah, okay.
Says, my husband and I rented a house for the last couple of years that our kids will be... For the last couple of years that our kids will be in high school. Okay. Then we're selling it all and buying an RV. Cool. The house came with a sprinkler system. My husband is much like Sean and hates to pull out a manual and read it. We noticed our lawn was getting dry during the summer, so he goes to the control panel, pushes a few buttons for the next month and a half or so, and our yard was super green and growing like crazy. Then the water bill came. It was $191.
Oh!
Usually it's around $80. So we're pretty sure it was his settings on the control panel. He goes back to the control panel, pushes more buttons, and says it's fixed. Next month's water bill comes, $180 or something. So in my mom voice, I demand that he look up the manual and learn how to use it before we spend our paychecks watering the yard. Totally get it. Turns out, it has a bunch of settings, 8 zones. He had set the sprinklers to run 8 hours per day.
Sensible. That's what I would have done. I don't fault him. I fault the manual. Beep,
beep, beep. He didn't read a manual. He had read, had he read the manual like his wife had suggested, he would have set it right from the beginning. I'm still paying bills off waiting for the month that it finally goes back to $80 to $100. Love your show. Keep it high and tight. Thanks, Jacqueline. That is awesome. And I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel sorry for you and your bank account, but it's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle.
Well, honestly, I've never owned a lawn, so I don't really know about these systems. I have seen a system or two like that, and I would just press buttons too. I'd be like, looks good to me. It's like when you put something in a microwave, they've got 30 different settings. I just want to reheat it. Why isn't there just a setting for their lawn that says, keep it green, modest green?
Remember how many buttons you pushed on our air purifier before? I was like, honey, we need to go look at the manual because I forget how we reset it. And then I had to go get the paperclip and poke that button through the little...
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, but you'd been poking at it, holding all the buttons down. I think we turn it off and then back on and we hold this for this many seconds. And
Up, down, left, left, right, right, up, down, up, down.
We're not playing Mortal Kombat. We're just trying to reset the air purifier.
Duly noted.
I appreciate Jacqueline's letter that it kills me.
Speaking of technology. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older.
You're getting older?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But iPhones and updates and new devices,
yes,
they just come out too frequently. I mean, here's what I mean with that. Every year or so, there's a new, you got to get the latest, greatest phone. But in between that, there's always these updates in the software too. Like,
fixes bugs and whatever they say.
Or they introduce new features. Mm-hmm. But do you really know all the features that your phone can do? Like, is anyone really a master, or do you just kind of know a little corner of your phone? Because
I think most of us only know a little corner because
go right ahead.
Back in the day when I was a sales rep, part of our sales tools was an iPad.
Okay.
And we'd switched. It was like, I don't even know when iPads came to be, but it was like the second generation of iPads. And we'd gone from having a laptop that flipped around. It was like I forget what it's called, a Lumix or something. I don't know. IntelliPad or something. Anyway, then we got the iPad and they made us, as part of our iPad that was like already downloaded in, was essentially a manual, like to Jacqueline's point. It was a huge manual,
right?
And it was all the things you need to know about your iPad, and we were supposed to go through it. And I tell you guys, like, I was 5 pages in and I'd already learned so much more about any kind of Apple device.
Well, they don't come with manuals.
It's an app. It's a free app.
Yeah. So then the new Apple just came out, the new iPhone.
Yeah, Caleb 12. Already has it because he's always all about it.
He has a new one again?
He's all about it. He is Apple. He drinks the Apple Kool-Aid.
Okay, so.
Or the apple juice. Is that what you'd say? I think it's apple juice.
Yeah, the apple juice. You drinking that apple juice again? Mm-hmm. Damn it.
He is.
Okay, so then I was looking because I was curious because I'm on an Android phone. And I was like, what's the Apple deal these days?
The 12 Pro or what is it? Is it 12?
Yeah, like 12 Pro, 12 Mini, 12 Lite, 12, I don't know. They've got a zillion different options. And then all the articles are coming out, why the 11 is better than the 12.
It's always that way. They said the 10 was better than the 11. And
it just doesn't make sense. I don't know what's going on with these things.
A lot of people get mad that Apple even is Apple.
Like, well, they just keep updating with things that I don't think are very important. Maybe it's important for some people.
Depends on what you want to do with it. Because I do so much content creation on my phone when it comes to like TikTok, Instagram, stuff like that, I feel like I just need a nice camera. That's why I updated to get it's better.
An excellent camera.
It's an amazing camera. And it does the low light, which was what I really wanted. That's really it. But cool. I'm not going to update until I feel like it. If this phone starts glitching, then...
Yeah. It's just interesting, I find, that the updates happen so quickly. But do we really need them? You know, why don't you just make a phone that
that's the title of your memoir. Yeah. Updates. Do we really need them?
Right. No, but okay. So.
Okay.
Is this ergonomic? Doesn't fit my hand properly. I can't move my thumb across, you know,
That's not important to anybody, I don't think.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, the phone itself used to be a cradle that would fit in your hand. It was rounded, right? The old ones in your house.
Uh-huh.
But then, in their infinite wisdom, yeah, because your hand is rounded.
You can have the plugins and put the real phone in it. Have you seen that?
I get that. I just think that it's silly that we had to go backwards. And this is like $1,000 and it's not even ergonomic. It's silly to me. I think that they've got real issues. They think they're solving problems, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like...
All because of ergonomics. You heard it here first, guys. If it's not ergonomical, Sean doesn't think they're solving any problems.
Yeah. Like, protect my information. Don't let your phone be hackable. You know, that's...
Apple's done a pretty good job with that.
Have they?
I think so.
Hmm.
I don't know about your shitstorm of a phone.
I think this phone is just like an iPhone with more bells and whistles. But
although Sean hasn't figured out how to use all the bells and whistles, and you can't text me photos.
No, you want to hear something funny about this thing?
It like saves to the drive somewhere that I cannot find.
Right. So I'm using Google's flagship phone, or their previous flagship.
Chrome 4.
It's a 4, and now it's a 5, right?
Oh, okay. Whatever.
But so this is a 4, and it's an Android built by the people who designed Android. So it's a Google phone hardware with a Google operating system.
Okay.
Or Google derived. Mm-hmm. Android, and then we have a car with
an Android.
Well, you can system. Do both. You can do Apple CarPlay or Android Auto.
Yeah, Apple Play or Android Auto. Yeah.
Do you think that this phone should work with their software in the car because they're both Android?
You'd assume.
Yeah,
but no, it does not.
I googled it because it won't work with it, and they said, "Oh, you need to have like a Samsung. You can't use a Google phone." I'm like, wait, but it's your phone and your software. Why aren't they working? And they're like, the answer was working on it 2 years ago.
Wow.
No updates
since
then.
That reminds me of like Jim in the office when he's like, whoa, the website, as last time I checked, we had one, and it shows like a little stick figure. It says, we're under construction coming December of 2011 or whatever. It was a random year and it was not the right year.
It's so wild.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, I don't like that phone and I think it's stupid.
It looks nice, but I think it has some issues, you know?
It has some major issues. Especially, I think maybe if I had one of those as well, or you had it, it's easier when for us doing work together and sharing things to be on the same, I think. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about that.
All right.
So I have a funny note. Are you ready?
Sure.
Billy Saul Estes.
Oh, that goes back to the Shelby documentary.
Yeah, he was like your uncle or your great uncle.
My grandfather's brother, may he rest in peace, Bobby.
I think he's really resting in peace. I'm being a smartass. He was a total swindler.
He was just
he's an con man.
He was an interesting guy. I don't know what, I don't really know his full story. I should ask, but he was my grandfather's brother. And in summer times so he lived in the next province over in Ontario, Windsor, Ontario. Hell of a ball player growing up. He was an amazing baseball player. I think he was in the minor leagues for a little while. Anyways, neither here nor there. So, my grandfather's brother, Bob, would show up and in summer times, and he would always have some sort of an interesting take on
like
life.
A funny story to share.
Yeah. He was a real showman and everything was.
Yeah. Didn't he show you? I think you've talked about him in the past where he would like show you coins or something. Where is it?
Card tricks and coins and numbers. And it was always like he was definitely a
swindler.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, Billy Saul Estes
is this type of character, right?
And they joked. So in the documentary about Carol, I always forget his name, Carol Shelby.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were saying that because he was such a salesman, like he could sell, you know, a popsicle to an Eskimo or what do they say? Ketchup to a lady in white gloves or, you know, like silly, crazy sayings that they have for sales.
Okay.
He was a really great salesman. And because he would like lie to make the sale, like for instance, in the documentary, you learn that they only had one car to show around. So they just scheduled things out. And in between showings, they would just paint it a different color.
Right. They wanted
so
to
they
make it look like
that
they
were like, yeah, that there were like four or five of these, like they had a ton. But they had no money to do that yet. So they just, I thought it was scrappy and fucking awesome. But somebody had called him he was just like Saul Estes or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Billy Saul Estes was the guy who, what was his story? He sold a bunch of things to the federal government that didn't exist.
Yeah. I forget what his deal is, but he was a con artist who fleeced the U.S. government.
It's like the Catch Me If You Can. If you guys haven't seen that film, I highly recommend it.
That's Frank Abagnale Jr., Oh, he's got a great story. Yeah.
That's another, a Catch Me If You Can.
It's really interesting when someone is so smart that they buck all the trends and they just, I mean, it's also sick, but.
Totally. Remember when he pretends to be a doctor and the other doctor is like, I didn't concur. I should have concurred. Cause he just said, do you concur?
But to have that ability to fabricate all this crazy web and convince other people.
It's a little antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it's I find it interesting when someone is
give me the willies.
Yeah. Master criminals. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, right? Like to look somebody in the eye and lie to them. I get nervous. I'm not a good liar. Even if the lie is to like have a surprise party for you. Do you know? Where I'm like, we're going to go to dinner and we'll come back home. Like I'm horrible. I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Okay, anyways. I'm going to write that down. Not
you already a know
sociopath.
This. Antisocial personality sort of draw a line through it. But yeah, so anyways, I wrote that down because I thought that that was a funny character. And then they, in the same documentary, they were talking about Carol and they said that he had 7 ideas and you only need one.
Right.
So like when he'd go in to sell something, he'd have all these like things that you could do. He was such a salesman. And I just love that phrase. He had 7 ideas and you really only needed one. Yeah. So plenty.
It's a great documentary. I can't recommend enough. And even if you're not into cars.
Yeah, totally.
I just think that it tells you about tenacity, hard work, having major failures in your life and then dusting yourself off. It's kind of what I think is. Sorry, go ahead.
The perseverance. Yeah. Yes.
I think it's something that's missing character-wise, like for people. And I think.
Through, the land of the gimme-gimmes.
Yeah. Through the adversity that people faced, like a different era, right? Mm-hmm. This person.
Well, he went to war, I think, even, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know what his service record was.
But anyway.
But, you know, people who lived through the Depression, who lived through. Wars, doesn't matter whether it's the Second World War, whether it's the Korean War, Vietnam.
Why do you think that's happening though? Because even myself, like I haven't had a ton of adversity, you could argue, right? Like my upbringing wasn't amazing, but it wasn't terrible. We didn't have a ton of money, but we weren't broke. You know, like I never worried I wouldn't have food on the table or we couldn't pay our bills. We didn't have to move a bunch. Like we owned a home. My parents were responsible, but my dad traveled a lot for work. And my mom would never overspend. Like if I wanted something that was over budget, she was like, you have to wait till next month. Like that was just it, you know? So I've always been very like pinch pennies type of person. But so why don't I expect instant gratification? Like I feel like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I don't know. There's, I don't know because I can only surmise. One, I don't have kids. And two,
thank God.
I'm not a social scientist or whatever. But you can see some things are obvious to me about the way kids have been raised or the way they behave now, to expect things instantaneously. Part of it is that we, as a society, we're really good at producing things.
So it's gotten better. And social media, I think, gives instant gratification a lot. We didn't have that growing up.
Well, yeah. Like, for instance, when I was a kid, if I wanted something, I would have to wait for a special occasion or I would have to, hunt it down in the store. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted a record, I'm going to make.
Yeah, we can't just Amazon things like we do.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to go digging in crates looking for records, old rockabilly records. And it was fantastic because it was an experience. I'd take the city bus downtown or a city bus to the metro station, then to downtown, trudge through sleet
walk
and snow.
Walk uphill both ways, you guys.
No, it was serious. You know, like me and some buddies would go downtown and then you dig through crates and it was a real experience, but you cut all that experience out now. And all you do is you just place an order with Amazon, boom, what you want shows up. Now that's, I think, very convenient, but it takes away part of the process of, do I really want this? Does it bring me joy?
Yeah. You know, is it worth the effort? I feel like there's not as much, you don't place as much value on things anymore.
Right. So that's instant gratification of consumerism. Mm-hmm. And I think that breeds some weird things.
Well, the consumerism in general, I think, is a conversation worth having just because things have definitely shifted towards that. And I don't know if it's because,
I think a lot of
things have changed.
A good example of this is when we watched Santa Monica being looted, the people who were looting were driving nice cars. I'm not saying...
Like Mercedes.
They were...
I was like, you have a nicer car than me. Why are you fucking breaking through windows and stealing things from Patagonia?
Yeah, and they were all dressed in nice clothes, on their cell phones, videotaping themselves, jumping out of their nice cars, mm-hmm. looting nice stores, and running away with sneakers or Apple
computers.
And now, obviously, you're going to steal high-ticket items if you need something to sell, but it just seems like it's like
sell your car and get a Honda Civic.
Instant gratification.
Yeah.
And that was like an extreme example of it.
I don't even know if that's that, though.
I think that's part of it.
I think that's like entitlement a little bit. But something that recently we were listening to Joey Diaz's podcast. He's calling it Joey's Joint now, right? And he said something that really, it resonated with me. And
it's funny because he jokes around all the time. And it's crass. And it's not, but he gets down to the nuggets. And there's some really... He's got some pearls of wisdom that
he does, because he gives zero fucks. I mean, one of his catchphrases is "you cocksuckers." He's pretty rough. So if you go over there to listen, I'm just prefacing, he's pretty rough and he doesn't really care, which is what makes it great. I think the honesty and the vulnerability of him is what makes him so great. And so when he's just talking, he's bullshitting about things. And in his most recent podcast, I think is his most recent, he says something that just really stuck with me, because he's moved recently from the Valley in LA, which I'm assuming he owned a home and everything, which is like it's a dream that we wish we could. I mean, not in the Valley, no offense to the Valley, but like it's a dream that we could own a home in LA. It's very expensive here, and good for him. You know, you think that things would be good. And he was talking about how hard it was on his daughter being here with everything shut down, because things definitely do not feel normal here. And this is not an argument about COVID being real or not. It's a real thing. I get it. But our shit is crazy here, and it's been locked down for a long time. And what he was saying is that the biggest change when they moved to New Jersey. So now they're in Jersey. And he was saying that the other day she spent all day outside with kids in the neighborhood. There's like six of them, and there's a hill, and she has a little scooter that she had from LA. And he goes, she never really used it, but yesterday she went up and down that hill, you guys, so much. He goes, I swear one of her legs is going to be bigger than the other, because she's like kicking, you know, one leg, and up and down and up and down. And then his buddy, whose kids she was playing with, called him later, and he's like, yeah, they're both wiped out in bed already. And it was like 7 p.m. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, she is pooped.
But that's how it should be for kids.
But I'm not done. Oh, okay. So then he said the thing that I thought was so great is he said, in L.A., in California, he thinks that people pay to have other people entertain their children. But in Jersey, he feels like the children learn to entertain themselves. And he thinks that that's a really powerful learning for children, to learn how to entertain themselves. And I definitely was raised with that. And part of me wonders if that's it, because buying things doesn't make you feel better, and it's not entertaining, or it's a new toy for a little bit. We all know, and I know this just as much as I assume any parent knows, you can spend all this money on all these toys for your children, and sometimes they want to play in the box more than they do the toys. And then the toys they're sick of them in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes they just need to learn how to entertain themselves. Cause we had no cable television. My mom would be like, go outside if you're bored. You want a clean house? I'll give you some stuff to do. I'm not bored. I remember that. That was the threat, and we'd never ask again.
I wonder if kids that
dust or vacuum.
Yeah. when kids get a new gift, and then another one, and another, like, are they just addicted to the hit of getting?
Yeah, it's that little dopamine rush. I know, right? that exists in our brain.
It's not about the actual thing they got. It's mm-hmm. just the fact they got something. There's mm-hmm. like a little reward for something.
But what if your reward is I race down the hill and I beat them?
Yeah, that's better.
And that's what, you know. And I remember doing that as a kid, like being so exhausted. It was funny because the other night we stayed up a little bit later than normal on a weeknight, and I had a tough time. I think I just needed more sleep that night, because even though I slept like 8 or 9 hours, waking up this week was rough. And we don't even wake up that early. Don't feel bad for us. I just need a lot of sleep. Anyway, remember last night, or it was after the live stream, because I had a 4-hour live stream, and I was, you guys, I was beat. I had a speaking engagement earlier that day. It was an hour long. I was taxed, and I was laying on the couch, and I thought, remember I said to you, I don't even want to brush my teeth. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that way since I was a kid. As a kid, that was like almost every night. I would put off going to sleep, and then I'd tell my mom my legs ached, and I'd be like, Mom, rub my legs ache. And she'd be like, you ran too much today, you know? And so she'd rub on my feet or whatever, and she'd be like, you got to go to bed, sis. And I'd be like, I'm too tired to brush my teeth. And she'd be like, you can't go to bed if you don't brush your teeth, so you better get in there. And I remember that. Like, that was like a repeat, like, all the time. And I feel like children don't get that. I feel like you, as kids, you almost just need to, like, run it out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that happens enough anymore. I don't think kids are running it out.
And COVID, I think, is, like, taking a lot of that away, too.
Yeah.
Like, sports and stuff. And but I don't know. I worry about the...
Also, before all this was going on.
Yeah, it was already.
I think we're on a bad path because all this stuff about kids not being hurt.
Kids,
you don't want to hurt their feelings.
But you learn from adversity. I'm not saying children should be like held down and beat up, but
no, but
a little.
You shouldn't get a
A
medal for seventh place.
Yeah,
like that's ridiculous. You know, not everyone wins, and you learn to want to compete.
I think these are important life skills
that you need to learn.
Because life's all competition. Good luck in the real world when you think you're going to get an award for doing nothing.
And I can't help but wonder sometimes when I see people screaming online, if those are people who are raised by helicopter parents. And we're just seeing this new generation of people, you know, maturing into adults, but they don't have the life skills to...
I don't think it's always helicopter parents. I think it doesn't really matter.
No, but if you coddled someone...
Coddle is what I'm saying. Parents could have been absent too.
Sure.
And children learned from other ways.
The point being is that like if something's protected its whole life, then maybe it doesn't have the skills to thrive.
Have a backbone. You know, you can't like Brené Brown wrote in her book, Braving the Wilderness, about having a strong back and a soft front. Like you need to be able to stand up for yourself, but you also have to be soft a little bit because, you know, you can't be harsh with everybody.
Yeah.
And a wild heart. So she says a strong back, soft front, wild heart. That's her thing. And I think there's a lot to that. And I don't think children have been given some children who are now adults haven't been given the opportunity or haven't been forced, maybe like we were to like buck up, you know, like I'm competitive. I'll admit it. I don't like to lose at all. I don't even like to get second place. I'm super crazy. Like
second place is the first loser.
Right. And in some ways, that's like too much. Like in my adult life, I've worked to like not be that crazy about things. But I always remember like even in graduate school, like I got a 4.0 and I remember going to that last final. And I was like, don't fuck this up for yourself, Katie. Like you don't want to be second. You don't want to be second.
Yeah.
Like I'm a lunatic. You guys don't get on my level with that.
Going to the gym, I remember being on the elliptical and...
people next to you.
Well, when someone else gets on a couple of minutes after, you're like, I'm going to outlast this fucking person. They're going to do 30 minutes. I'm in here for 60, you know?
Oh.
Or like you look at what their average speed is because you can cycle through your numbers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have theirs on auto cycle and you're always trying to look to see, you know, what are they doing? How far have they gone? How many calories? Not that it matters, but it gives you a sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it may be a little weird to do that, but to compete is to, what's my dad say? One bicycle is transportation, two bicycles is a race. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. And it pushes us to do better when you're in competition. Friendly competition is a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Not Cobra Kai competition. Like, don't sweep the leg.
No, sweeping the leg. No, but I agree with that. And I think that in a lot of ways, children have been like, and not all children, and we're not saying
No.
It's like, I don't make sweeping generalizations like that. We can make our opinions don't matter. But I do think there is something to this, and I do worry about the ripple effects because I feel like every generation, right? Like we're almost a little older, like people younger than us are having children.
God forbid someone who's gotten everything in their life becomes president. We're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm just kidding. I don't know what you're talking about. No, moving on.
No, but I think that it's tricky when people... I think it's really tricky when people are given things without any effort in general. And it's almost a blessing and a curse. And we've talked about this when it comes, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, when it comes to being raised with a lot of money. Because I've had friends whose parents were super wealthy and they had to work to get things, like had to have a job at 16 if they wanted them to purchase them a car at all. And they didn't get a fancy car, but they got a car and that was a privilege. And if you don't take care of it, we take it away.
Okay.
Like, you know, the best way you can parent, I think, is like, but there are consequences, there are expectations, those are clearly communicated, all that stuff. But I think when we're given things without any expectations, you don't have to work at all for it. There's just no, you don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
I think that is a recipe for disaster.
I've seen a couple of people since coming to California that were given vehicles by their parents.
They treat them like shit.
Yeah, like a brand new BMW. And, you know, there's cigarette burns. First of all, what are you doing smoking? What are you doing smoking in your car? Third of all, you care so little about this beautiful vehicle
that you flick your ashes or put them out into the seat. Like
A person such as this does not with a person with priorities so far out of whack does not deserve such a fine automobile as this.
You can tell us what movie that's from.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No, I wanted them. Oh, Sean shit. Just gives it all away for free.
I gave you the full Monty.
Anyway, stuff like that's true. And I think I remember saving up forever. And this is a totally random story, but I remember saving up forever because we would go to Seaside, Oregon every summer for a long weekend. It was always the mothers and the children of like our family. We'd rent this condo. It was wonderful. It was like one of my cousin Amanda and I's like favorite times. Anyway, I would save up all my money so that I would have, I think it was like $50 to $80. I wanted to buy Doc Martens. Doc Martens are super cool. My mom told me that they were too expensive. I could get knockoff ones for like $40, but my mom was not going to spend $100 on a pair of shoes for me because I'd outgrow them, blah, blah, blah. So I saved up all my money from all of my babysitting and stuff. And I would go because on the way back from Seaside, there was outlets and they had Doc Martin outlet. And so they were always a little different. Like I wanted the little Mary Jane shoes and everybody had like black and brown, but mine were like navy, but it was fine. And anyway, and I got some maroon ones. Anyway, I would save up every year and I'd buy myself like one pair of shoes and I polished and cleaned. Like you guys, I took care of it because it meant a lot to me. And I feel like that's kind of what's missing in some fashion. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but I feel like in a way we have to appreciate the things we have. Otherwise, it's like we just get everything for free. We expect everything quickly. I don't know. And I think that leads to just complete discontent, which may be why people are shouting online. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah. Anyway, it's complicated.
It's complicated. That's the name of the podcast.
It's complicated. But yeah, I think that's a thing.
Fair enough.
Okay. I have another note.
On that note,
I have... Oh, back to Joey Diaz.
Oh.
We'd listened to two of
his... He's really good.
He is really good.
Just to preface it, I don't know how we stumbled on him because neither of us were...
Maybe Joe Rogan?
Well, I had been watching Rogan for a long time, and even though he was on, I didn't used to watch when he had comedians on.
Maybe YouTube just dished him up to
us. I think so.
Because you watch enough Rogan, you're like, hey, you might like this guy. I'd
never seen him do stand-up, and I think it was...
Yeah, I've never seen him do stand-up either.
No, and then he just showed up on a radar like a year ago.
The only thing I know him from is The Sopranos, if I'm being honest. Prior to this, you know?
You know what? But I didn't put two and two together. I didn't realize he was in The Sopranos until hearing him
talk about it. And then I was like, that's why he looks familiar. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, this is a separate podcast that we listened to, but I guess he'd made mention in a previous podcast that we did not listen to about being pissy, with different schools in LA that try to teach comedy or teach acting. And he said, I got the feeling that he said something to the effect that they're like ripping people off and he didn't appreciate it. And people got upset because they're like, hey, like I went to a school and it was really helpful. And so there was a lot of chatter like that. And so in the next podcast, he wanted to talk about why he had said what he'd said. And I really enjoyed the conversation. He can really talk too, by the way. It's like one topic per podcast.
Imagine that guy trying to sell you a car. You're like, okay, I'll just buy it.
I'd be like, just stop talking. Yeah. Because he can really, really go. He has stories for everything. But he was talking about getting into comedy and getting into acting and all the courses that he took that were helpful, but that people would, and I know friends like this too, that have spent years and years and years doing acting classes or doing comedy classes and they've never done anything with it. Like they won't go to any auditions or they've gone to some auditions and they're told no and then they can't, you know, it's a lot to, trust me, I don't want to be an actress or a comedian. I don't want any of that. Also, I don't know how they hear no all the time and keep going. Those people are like stone. They just do it. But what he was talking about, and I thought this was really interesting, and I just wanted to talk about it because I thought maybe you'd find it interesting as well, is how dog eat dog Los Angeles is.
Okay.
Because what he was getting at was that he doesn't begrudge these schools or these teachers that do the comedy or the acting courses, but everybody's out to get their own. And so people come to LA like rose-colored glasses from another part of the States or from another part of the world thinking, I'm going to make it big, and that someone sells them this bill of goods that isn't any good. Like a lot of the acting schools will say, you can't audition until you finish this, or they charge an arm and a leg, and then people are broke and then don't have any money to stay in LA and have to like pull. Anyway, Sean and I, while he was talking about this, I was like, it also exists in its own way in the digital space. Not these schools. I'm not even really talking about schools and things like that. But it's like people who don't have any skin in the game expecting things.
You'll notice these people by their profile because they're not particularly bright. Mm-hmm. But in their profile, they say social media expert or lifestyle efficient or expert. Again, mm-hmm. it's always some sort of expert in something or social media.
Digital creator expert.
Yeah.
Digital creation
expert. I'll teach you how to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you could teach me how to do it.
Why aren't you doing it?
Why don't you have millions of followers, Mr. 5327 with 22 followers? Nothing wrong with those who don't teach. Yeah, there's a bunch of people just trying to sell you mm-hmm. how to do something, but maybe they never knew how to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Along the lines of what he was talking about, like, mm-hmm. I'm an actor. Well, you were an actor in a TV show in the 80s, and now you're like running a predatorial school where you're passing along your knowledge that doesn't really...
Yeah, and I think the thing that I thought was really interesting, so there's two sides in my brain of it. Okay. So the one part is the fact that you don't need anybody to tell you how to do things online, just do it. Like, I get reached out to you guys, I don't know, 10, 20 times a week, somebody asking for advice about YouTube or somebody reaching out to say, I want to start a podcast or I want to start a YouTube channel. And I want to pick your brain. And unfortunately, I don't have time. Like, I don't have time to sit down and call.
Early on in your career.
Oh, I did a ton of it.
You had a lot of, but I think it would be disingenuous for you to turn around and tell someone how to do it when we don't know. Look,
we've been in it for 9 years.
The only solution is just do it.
Just got to get out and do it. And so Joey Diaz said something great because he was like, people try to sell you these classes, like how to be a podcaster, how to do this stuff. And he's like, you know how you fucking do it? You do it. You record. You get an iPhone with, you know, just your headphones. You record into that, or you can get a setup like that. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
And so there's that kind of component, and then there's the component of the fact that I do think people get taken advantage of, and so I wanted to talk about it so people don't get taken advantage of, because I will be I've been in LA now since 2002.
Just so you know, if you hear anything, it's upstairs. They're reconditioning the apartment, and it's
been a fucking nightmare.
Thump, 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 thump. So if you hear that, that's what it is.
I don't know why they're working so late.
I don't have gas. I'm not farting. Don't at me.
Or maybe he is. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Just blame me on that. If you hear anything funny,
it's the dog. We don't have a dog, Sean. You know. Anyway, being in LA for as long as we've been in LA, as long as I've been in LA,
yeah.
You meet a lot of snake oil salesmen, and I think that not everybody is prepared or aware enough to know when they've met somebody that's trying to pull one over on them.
Right.
And so I guess I would just caution everybody, if you want to create online, go for it. Just do it today. Start it. You're going to suck at first. Everybody fucking sucks at first. Look at my first video. Let that be a lesson to you. It's so awkward. And it's so different, but you learn.
Look at the last episode of the podcast that I was on to see how, you know.
Yeah, we should release those two podcasts. Actually, I guess we can't technically. But anyway, we have those old podcasts. So you never know what you're going to do till you do it. And if a deal seems too good to be true, or if somebody is trying to tell you they know better and you look them up, always Google people, by the way. You look them up and you're like, well, they don't really have a podcast and they don't have this or that. Don't trust that person.
Yeah.
Anyway. That was all. I thought it was really interesting him talking about LA and having skin in the game. And like he's not going to tear somebody down and be like, you're not funny.
Oh yeah. Someone was asking for his advice. Like, hey, what do you think about my stand-up? I sent you my footage.
Yeah, he gets sent these discs.
I'm not going to tell you your dream is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up to you. You'll know.
Yeah.
Just get out there and do it.
And that's the thing. I feel like in a lot of ways, people get mad about things being online too now, where they're like, this shouldn't exist out here.
Yeah.
I don't like this show. And this should be canceled. And you're like, if it's not good, it will run its way right out. Do you know what I mean? If nobody wants to watch, or if nobody's interested, or if you're not good at your job, it'll show itself.
Yeah,
the truth will be revealed.
It's a free market. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important to have a free market, because the audience decides.
Yeah.
Does it suck? Can you make a go of it?
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't like when people try to shit on creators who are doing really well just because they're jealous. I'm like, people are watching. They're doing great.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you're just jealous. Anyway, I thought that was really interesting and having skin in the game.
I recommend that podcast to anyone who will listen. I mean, it's not for everyone, but I do think that there's a lot of sage advice from, if you're looking for wisdom from someone who's been there, done that, mm-hmm. been down in their dumps, gone through drug abuse, gone through incarceration.
Yeah. He talks a lot about mental health stuff.
Put his life back together again.
He has panic attacks and anxiety. He's on Klonopin. He's
57, has a kid who's in school, you know, like elementary school.
Six or seven.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in this guy's life, but he doesn't sugarcoat it. And he says, look, I was a bad guy when I was younger. I'm not that anymore. And I think that this is a good example of you don't discard people for bad behavior early on. You know, you don't necessarily hang out with them, but he's imparting these words of wisdom. And I think it's a very good show for that.
Well,
I think a lot of young men should be listening to people who have been there, done that, who actually have the experience, as opposed to someone who's, oh, hey man, I'll show you how to be a super successful influencer online. Take my course for $500.
And I think it kind of goes to the fact that we don't like cancel culture because it doesn't allow people to change and grow. Right. And if someone had thrown him away like 20 years ago, what would we have missed out on? You know, he's a great guy. He's really working to make himself better. Anyway, he's interesting. And like it or not, I think that people can, my whole job is people can change and grow. That's what I believe in. So anyway, I love that. And I do think there's a huge component of like sage advice in there where it's just, it doesn't give any fucks about it. It's not like, I told Sean, he's not the best orator. He doesn't speak very clearly or he's not a great talker, if you want to say it that way, but the points are there and the points are important. And I appreciate it.
It's raw. It's honest.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I think that, I can't speak from a woman's.
And his breathing scares me.
I can't think of from a woman's standpoint, you know, like what you would think of his content, but I think men.
I don't like it, but it's okay.
Yeah. But young men, you just said you liked it, but young men, I think need to hear from someone who's been there, done that.
No, I'm saying some of his stuff is like pretty crass about women and things like that. And I'm like, ugh, it's like dude humor.
Oh yeah.
You know?
But I think that something like that or someone like that who's presenting material in an honest way is what helps people connect, as opposed to this glossed over bullshit that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And therefore I think like young people should be listening, maybe not to everything, but like to certain moments, because he's giving sage advice.
Yeah.
I think you need people like that in your life.
Totally. And those are the real people that are offering actual thoughtful advice. It's none of this like, let me fix your life, you're going to get everything together.
Platitudes. You know,
yeah.
These, or people, motivational posters.
Yeah. The police are coming to get you. I don't know if people will hear it, but
I gotta
we gotta go. That's something that bothers me about the wellness space, quote unquote wellness space, is people who try to like sell people these huge, I don't even like conferences or workshops to change your life in 5 days and da da da.
Oh,
and,
like a program like $15,000 and you're going to, they just keep milking you for. Mm-hmm.
Versus it'd be fine. Like I've looked into doing workshops myself, so I'm not going to pretend that I'm like above offering resources, but offering real resources, research backed with like downloadables or worksheets or things that you can utilize like that. I appreciate that and that's fine. But not like that. I don't want to shit talk Tony Robbins because I know he's helped a lot of people, but it's that kind of thing that I'm very suspicious of. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about, is that like, you don't always need someone, you know, you shouldn't be paying people thousands of dollars for things like that. You know, does that make sense? I'm kind of off topic, I feel like, but
no, it makes sense. I get it.
But just
beware of the snake oil salesman.
Yeah. And I swear, and
believe in yourself and do it yourself.
Yep. Exactly. It's both of those things. Yeah. Do you have anything else? That's all my notes.
Oh, yeah. I'm just in thinking about moving, you start to design the space that you want to live in, right?
And we're going out in a week and a half to look at houses, you guys, so get ready.
You know, how do you envision yourself living? And so when you're looking at Zillow, you see into someone else's space, you know, and they sometimes have the fake furniture in the photo. Sometimes they've got, you know.
Technology's made things weird like that, right, where you'll be like, wow, this is too perfect. Oh, that's not right. Because like you can tell that the carpet's not actually on the floor.
Yeah.
Everything's too perfect.
Yeah, they just drop in a fake couch into the photo. But you see some amazing houses. And then some houses you're like, oh, I could never live like that. So like the bathroom
just doesn't feel right.
A micro bathroom or whatever.
Mean, who are we to talk? But I don't want to have a micro bathroom anymore.
No longer am I a man with a micro bathroom. I'm a man with a micro. So anyways.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Ba-dum, boom.
These houses, you know, you get to see some really cool ones. And I'm starting to like dream, you know, a little bit.
You dream a dream? You have a dream?
Dream a little dream.
For me.
Yeah. And
so what are you dreaming?
Well, starting with the man cave. Not that I'm going to have a man cave, but like, you know, your room, your place where you go to read or to draw blueprints or, you know, and I'm thinking like a guitar. I'm going to have my guitar in there. That's
I mean,
start.
My dad had the garage, I guess.
Yeah. But I'm going to have a room.
You're going to be like, Michael Scott, do you want me to get you two hand? Have a hand.
Yeah.
With your Bowflex.
Exactly. I'm going to have my Bowflex in there. No, but, you know, maybe a pinball machine at some point in my life. I'd like to have one.
Sean loves a pinball machine.
Oh, I love pinball. There's some really good ones out there, too. And there's a new one that just came out, a new Guns N' Roses one.
Oh, God.
And one of my favorite artists did the artwork on it.
That's like the only thing you and Jeffree Star have in common is that he loves pinball machines also. Remember when we were watching that video a long time ago? You were like,
oh, yeah, that guy has a serious collection.
Pinball machines? Yeah. Sean was like.
Me and Jeffree Star, we have a lot in common.
Just pinball machine. Just pinball machine. Like, anyway, so you want to have a man cave. Yep. You want to have a pinball machine.
Maybe a small bar. Nothing crazy, but like...
I do like the little like secondary living room or basement that has a little bar.
Yeah, it's where you retreat to, you know? I'd like to have a dart board. I'd like to have...
not real darts, so those little magnet darts.
I'd like to have a fish tank, you know? And in that fish tank, maybe piranhas or...
No.
Sharks with laser beams on their heads. Or maybe
laser beams.
Maybe I press a button and the roof moves.
Did you realize that's an Austin Powers reference?
A rocket launcher, and it could be like a James Bond or Austin Powers. That would be cool. I would
freaking laser
beams. I would like to be able to, but not a James Bond villain, more like somebody who's nice, you know.
Who can barely afford a home.
Yeah.
Just getting into the market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But eventually that man cave is going to be with sharks with laser beams and stuff. Yeah. How about you?
If you find Sean on the side of the road with his thumb out, it's because I kicked him out.
Yeah.
No more laser beams.
What's going on in your man cave?
I don't really need that. I really am excited about having a studio that's separate from our home.
Yeah.
That, oh, guys, I can't even tell you. Like, we have to move our furniture every day to film something, and it's exhausting. So I'm excited to have separate space. I talk about how important that is all the time in my videos, that like you shouldn't be working where you do other things, and we work everywhere in our house except for the kitchen and bathroom, I guess. So there's that.
I do some of my best work in the bathroom.
He does, as you learned earlier about the oysters. So anyway, so the studio is very exciting. I cannot wait to have a closet, like a walk-in closet. And I don't need like a Khloe Kardashian closet. I just need like a Katie closet where I can just walk in and like we can see our things hanging. I have a feeling there'll be a ton of empty space in there because we don't have much space here. We'll probably be surprised how little of a closet we need. But just to be able to see it, because we have these wood closet doors, you guys. And so even when they're all the way open, there's a huge swath, like a third of your closet you still can't see. So you like have to dig across to like get to stuff. And I just hate that, especially when I'm trying to find something.
They're not ideal.
No.
But,
so I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm excited about having a nicer kitchen, like a bigger kitchen.
Yeah, definitely. A galley kitchen has been tough.
Yeah. And our kitchen, our dishwasher won't smell like dog all the time.
Mm, that's an upgrade.
Mm, yes. And so, yeah. And finally, having a room or part of a room that has like a little padded floor for workout stuff.
That's a nice upgrade. I like that.
Yep. Because we'll have space. I mean, the workout room could be the guest bedroom and we just move our stuff out.
Yeah.
But depending on what kind of place we get. If there's an extra room in a garage, we could do it there. I don't know.
Start dreaming.
With me.
Oh, my God. How do we not talk about that moron over at CNN?
slash on the Zoom.
The New York Times or New Yorker. So, okay, you may have heard of this story or not. Again, so I'm not political. I also come from a different country, so I can't vote here. I do have opinions.
He could do his paperwork, but he has not. So
yeah, I'm on the fence about staying, you know.
He's not.
So I'm not making this about to be political when I say CNN.
No, but
CNN,
this guy pulled his wang out on Zoom.
He was on a Zoom conference call. First of all, he's the legal counsel or something like that, or a legal pundit, or I don't know.
For CNN or New York Times.
Yeah, and this guy, his story goes deep.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Because tell them the original story first.
What's the original story?
No, that like on Zoom, he said that he thought his camera was off.
Yeah, so he was
in he thought his camera was on mute, which that doesn't make any sense.
He pulled his out and was... with himself. And
Sean doesn't use real words when he's embarrassed about using the terms.
Buddy was pulling.
He was masturbating.
His last name is unfortunate because it's Tubin. Oh. So now, like, you know, the verb to is tubing, you know, like he was tubing.
Tubing it.
Yeah. Anyways, Jeffrey Toobin is his name, and the man, I guess, has a problem or was so relaxed with his coworkers.
That is, okay, so we've
Who
all...
Who does that? Like, so is this a mental illness or is this absent-mindedness? Does he have quarantine brain syndrome?
That's not a thing. So there's a couple of things. I know a lot of people don't think that their cameras are on. We've all seen the video on Instagram that was hilarious where this girl didn't, I don't know if she just thought it was just a audio or just forgot, but she sat their laptop down in the bathroom and then proceeded to sit onto the toilet, like to go pee. You didn't see anything. You saw like the side of her butt, but everybody was like, Jenny, or whatever her name was. They're like, wait, hey, and she's like, oh shit. And she shuts her laptop and you're like, oh no. It was funny.
I'll take notes for you, Jenny.
Right. Jenny's going to stick her head in the hole for a while and be so embarrassed. So that is forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. Because that's just something you would do. It'd be like me turning on the coffee grinder, making coffee, not realizing.
Pulling my penis out.
No, not realizing people can hear me or see me.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like back in the day, I remember we'd have conference calls and one of the women didn't realize she was on camera and she was in her robe. And the rest of us were like dressed for the day because you're supposed to like go out. Do work after that. And this was not COVID time. And we were like, Debbie, you're in a robe. And she was like, you can see me? And we were like, yeah, idiot. Anyway, so that there's that part. This guy, first of all, I think is too intelligent for that. And he's been doing this for how long? We've been in COVID for how long? How many times do you think he's been on Zoom calls?
Yeah, I don't know.
And also, why would you pull your penis out?
And it wasn't just like he like,
I know,
grazed it or
you it know. Wasn't like he was in his underwear and hung out of his
apparently
underpants.
It was like,
I know it. I think it was
wanting to get caught.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it was wanting. I think it's just weird. It's like, could be histrionic personality disorder where you just really want a lot of attention and you think your relation, I don't know. It could just be exhibition.
It could have been
an exhibitionist,
mistake, right? I mean, at face value,
masturbating while working.
I don't know.
On a Zoom call.
I wonder if it's like for him. Absently picking his nose while he's driving down the freeway, thinking no one's watching him. You know what I mean? You know when you look over and you see that nose picker on the freeway and you're like, oh, two knuckles deep. Good on you, buddy. Look at you go. And then they turn and they look. You know what I'm talking about when you're stuck in traffic.
I do, but this is not the same thing, Sean.
Okay.
This is not at all the same thing. Picking your nose like, oh, I had an itch. Ooh.
No, some people are like really mining.
I think
for
those
gold.
People already picked their nose. Like, yeah. I can't tell you the last time I like picked my nose.
I wonder if there's a bunch of people that are Jeffrey Toobins. Like if this
I don't
is
know,
a,
but I think it's something different.
Can
I
you
think,
imagine if a
I think
syndrome,
it's something weird,
like if a psychiatrist or if something labeled something like this was a,
the Toobin.
Oh my God. How mortifying.
It's a Toobin sexual disorder. No, I don't think there's a special,
TSD.
I don't think there's a special name for it. I think this guy's a creepazoid. I think he's a freak. I don't know what he was doing. He knew his camera was on. I do not believe him. And
he's a freak. Ow.
In the grossest way. It's more like a freak. Ew. I just can't. That's my take. Hot take.
I think it's a good take. Of course, I don't want to disparage anyone after disparaging him for 5 minutes.
No, but if people...
He disparaged himself.
I would say, if you're masturbating with your camera on to some coworker, shame on you.
He's lucky.
Masturbate at your own time.
Can you imagine if
with your cameras off.
Imagine if it was the news, like that's he was like on the news cycle. It wasn't just like an intercompany call. It was like, all right, let's cut to Dave. Jesus, Murphy, man.
Put it away, man.
The producer's in your ear. No, let him go. This is pretty funny.
I was surprised. The thing I was most surprised about, not the masturbating on camera.
It was the eating of Cheese Whiz. That was odd.
It was the fact that the New Yorker immediately dropped him and CNN didn't.
No.
He just said he was taking some time off for family issues, a family emergency. And I was like, yeah.
The one that you made?
Called, I masturbated on camera in front of people.
My wife is super pissed, guys. I can't come into work anymore. She says, I'm embarrassing.
Also, my lawyers tell me not to talk about it. It's crazy. I forgot about that. I think I just blocked it, pushed it out of my brain.
Well, 2020 is so ridiculous. Yeah. His only saving grace is that the world is on fire. And hopefully this is just a footnote in 2020. And he's like,
also,
oh,
remember
man.
Remember that guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, this dude is praying for an asteroid to take over the news cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like,
remember how viral that video of that guy on the news with his kids walking in the background was,
oh, that was cute.
Now that would be like commonplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
It's like, it wouldn't be as viral anymore. So not to, I'm not trying to make light of the masturbation on camera because that's fucked up.
But everybody's just doing it, Jeffrey. Oh, okay. Oh,
but I'm just saying that, like, I think it probably will be a footnote because there's just so many other things going on right now. We can't, mm-hmm. I can't even keep up with it, man. And finally,
that's what he said.
Our final conversation piece.
Yeah.
How's Sober October going for you?
This is, so you take everything away from us and then, you know, no, I'm just kidding. It's actually been quite nice. I don't know, when you're drinking, mm-hmm. not like binging or anything, but when you have cocktails on the regular or beers on the regular, not that you get fuzzy, but like, if you don't have any alcohol in your system for like an extended period of time, you're a little sharper, I find.
I don't actually feel any different.
Yeah.
Personally.
Let's say Wednesdays roll around, pre-COVID, we'd go to the pub and I'd have
a beer or two.
Yeah. A couple of pints of beer. And then you go home, you go to sleep. Okay. But like taking that out of the equation, and also you lose weight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, are you taking in an extra 1,000 calories a week from alcohol?
Maybe.
Or more? Like, from beer, for sure.
How much is in a wine spritzer? I'll do my calculations.
Like 120 carbs. I mean, not carbs. But how do they count to 120 calories? But, I mean,
clearly we count calories in this house. Yeah. Is it carbs?
Boy, I'm so much sharper now that I've stopped drinking beer. You don't sound sharper. Oh, no, I'm just... But anyways, I just find like there's a general fog that goes away when you're not drinking. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. There's that.
Yeah.
That's how it's going.
I don't actually notice much difference. That's the weird thing. But I think maybe because I was having like a wine spritzer or two, mm-hmm. and then maybe on the weekend I'd have like a third.
Yeah.
I did lose weight at the beginning, but I don't really weigh myself enough to know if I weigh anymore. When you're like, I've lost weight, I was like, Oh yeah, me too, I think. But I don't weigh myself regularly enough to even know that. I don't actually feel any different. It's weird. I thought it'd be like a bigger adjustment. I found it was hard. It was like a habit that I was breaking the first week. I was like, oh, and now I don't. And so that was awkward.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do? I guess I've been more productive, I would say. Maybe I am a little sharper, but I don't know. I don't really think I've had that many changes, which is kind of funny to me.
Cool.
Well, my skin is broken out, which one of my viewers said that's probably because alcohol is leaving my body.
Oh.
But yeah, we're almost, I don't know what day is today. Today
22nd?
Is the 22nd. You so guys will hear this on the 24th. Yeah.
Oh, I do have something coming to us, a little, one of our friends who is in the...
I know, a little bug flew into her.
One of our little bug friends.
But anyway, one of our friends. Mm-hmm.
They are sending over... a blood alcohol tester.
Oh yeah, Lauren.
So, yeah, so we've stripped our blood alcohol level to zero, right? You and I have nothing in our systems.
Mm. I'd assume so. I mean, I use Listerine at night.
Well, I don't think that'll screw up the system. But anyway, she's sending over a blood alcohol thing and we're going to test it out podcast. We'll have like a couple of drinks just to see.
I'm curious.
I'm too.
I've never, luckily, I don't drink and drive, you guys, and don't drink and drive. But I've never done a breathalyzer thing.
You want to hear something really dumb, but interesting. Mm-hmm. An unintended consequence. When I was working at Chi Chi's, the Mexican restaurant when I was a kid, they had a very busy bar. And on the way to the bathroom, they had a breathalyzer. So you'd pay a loonie or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you would...
If you guys don't know, that's a dollar.
Yeah. And you'd get a straw and then you'd blow into the machine and it would tell you... Oh, you'd get a straw.
Because I was like, how do they make it sanitary? Yeah,
they had a little dispenser and then you would, you know,
that's blow into
the machine. Right.
But kids will take that to the extreme though, because I had kids in high school who got a breathalyzer and be like, how high can we go? And I was like, this sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It became a game. The bar patrons would drink and then they'd... It was like, who can get a higher number? I was like, oh, that's
like leading to death.
Unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't put a breathalyzer
near a bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although you'd think it'd be safety because you'd be like, oh, I've had one drink. I can drive home. You blow and it's like 0.001 or what? I don't even know what. 0.01 maybe.
Right.
And you're like, I feel fine and I am fine.
There you go.
Off you go, I guess. I mean, we don't drink and drive at all, like not even one drink. Mm-mm. We always just walk or Lyft or Uber because hello 2020. Well, and 2019, like having, thank you, technology.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
I thought it was interesting. But anyway, so we'll test it out. We'll see. I'm kind of curious.
I am curious.
I would like a pumpkin beer. I know, if you don't like the pumpkin don't stuff, that's me. Fine.
I love pumpkin beer too.
I like it.
And I love holiday stuff too, like the Celebration Ale, Sierra Nevada, the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
Yeah.
That like reminds me of Mammoth and going snowboarding and moment of silence for the season.
Well,
at least we went in February, thank God.
Yeah.
Went before everything fucking...
I'm excited though. I am hearing good things in the science realm about potential... therapeutics and
that
whatnot.
One person died.
Yeah.
AstraZeneca.
Remdesivir was just approved, okay. I think yesterday or today.
Okay.
So that's good.
Okay.
Some good news in the science realm. Mm-hmm. And then apparently Pfizer and McDonald's both have antivirus stuff. One is like a dipping sauce for your nuggets that protects you from the COVID.
Mm, ranch all the way, baby.
Yeah. It coats your throat and the virus can't attach itself to
you. Take that honey Dijon or whatever. I don't even know what the honey mustard. Barbecue.
Sweet barbecue. I don't like chicken McNuggets.
I love all things like that.
Okay, it was a trick. Who doesn't like chicken McNuggets? I know you do. I like them too.
Well, you love chicken tenders, so I was like, I can't imagine you not liking chicken McNuggets. I think it'd just be a cheaper version of the chicken tenders that you usually get at the pub.
Yeah, they're just smaller.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
That's well, and with that, with the dip and sauce.
I'm getting hungry.
I know I'm getting hungry too. My stomach has been making noise. If you hear it, let me know. But please, somebody left a comment on my Instagram saying that that one of our little clips that we shared sparked a really funny memory. And I want you to email those to us. Please email us to otdmpod@gmail.com, right?
That's correct.
Please send us those. Share your story. Share your funniest costume stories, Halloween stories. I want them. They're funny and I love it. Please send them in, please.
Cool. With that said, it's about to shut off
it is. The recording. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye. Thanks for listening.